Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This afternoon we're talking about some of the impediments, the obstructions on the way. Apart from the impediments, things that Shaitan relishes and enjoys. We don't mean to be negative, but obviously life has got a positive and a negative. Just working and concentrating on the positive, on the do's, and being totally disconcerned about the don'ts, it's like only like saying that the car only needs an accelerator. Like the motor car requires an accelerator, it requires the brake. In the absence of the brake, we know it's a disaster. So both are important. The do's are important as well as the don'ts. As these auspicious nights, auspicious days come about, and people are looking forward to progress going forward. As going forward and progressing is important, then preserving the good also is important. Like we accumulate wealth, and if we are filling it up in a torn sack, obviously we are deceiving ourselves. Got it, the sack that we've got is torn. So all that is being accumulated is just getting lost. So both are important, accumulating the good, and more than accumulating the good is, but are we preserving it? Are we sustaining what we've got? One of the biggest impediment that the Shaykh speaks about one of the worst crimes, Ummul Amraz, the root of all sins. Prepared a book, and it's my conviction that these Buzurgan ad-Din have been inspired in writing these books. When we see the topics they've touched, and then we see the halat and circumstances, it leaves us with one conclusion: that they have been inspired. They have caught their fingers on the pulse, they understand the ummah, and hence they have written these type of kitabs as a deep affection that they have for the ummah. The Shaykh Ramtari had a lot of liking for people, lots of liking. It's unimaginable, and this is an indication of his adherence to the sunnah. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, very compassionate, very loving. So the one that's going to be adhering to the sunnah, he will have the type of love, compassion, feeling for people, what's going on, and what's happening, what are the problems. So in his love and his concern for people, he's written a book. In fact, when he will address people, will say, Pyare, my beloved. Old, young, middle-aged. This used to be his title. This was the address, my beloved. So he couldn't see people going off the course, going off the track. It was very difficult for him to see. And on account of that, in spite of his illnesses were such, he couldn't move. Imagine, you're sitting at one spot and you can't move. You are totally handicapped. Can't move. In spite of that, when there was a need for deen, and he's traveling to one end of the world, another end of the world, wherever deen requires for him to travel, he's moving. But then you look at the man and he's totally handicapped. Can't move. So this is the affection, the muhabbat, the concern that he had. So he's written this kitab, Ummul Amraz, the root of all sins. And then he's diagnosed it as diagnosed it with as arrogance and pride. And when we talk about this, we feel we don't have it. But with careful scrutiny, examination, we understand that we call it brimming, it's just overflowing. It's so much in our hearts, so much in our minds. And therefore, Zughana Deen, the first thing they try to work on is try to get this thing out. But they understand that this is the obstruction, this is the impediment. This is coming on the way of progress. Once this is crashed, then you can move. And as long as this is not crashed, then you can't move. Your journey becomes, the journey is slowed down, where you're supposed to cover a distance of 1,000 miles an hour, and you can't even move 5 miles an hour. It breaks your journey, it breaks your length. When you see the first person that was destroyed, Mr. Iblis, right? And the reason for this Iblis going off was again pride, arrogance. So Allah Ta'ala demonstrated it on the heaven that this is going to be your problem. See, what disaster Iblis has brought for him, disaster he's brought upon him, where he was called the Mu'allimul Malaika, the teacher of the Malaika. And he was called as Sultanul Abidin, the head of all the worshippers. He excelled so much. But more than all his worship and everything else, the position that he had, he was crowned. All the other jinnat were destroyed on account of disobedience. The malaika felt sorry for him. This one here must be spared, because he is not like the rest of them. Spare him. So he's spared, and then comes the trial. Allah Ta'ala announces that Adam alayhi salam is going to be my deputy. He's going to represent me. So now, that fire that was burning in him, see, sometimes to see that fire, you need to have a situation, a circumstance to see what's within the person. Otherwise, when you don't have a circumstance, then you can't see what's within the person. Allah Ta'ala knows it before the actual situation. He knows what's going to happen. But for our benefit, for us to understand, because see, I can see Alimum bidhati sudur, I know what's in your heart. But you just need a little bit of an exposure to see exactly what's going on in the mind of the person. He seems to be so good. He seems to be so pious and righteous. But what's in his mind, that's only Allah that knows. So that requires a little bit of an exposure. The moment you've got the exposure, now you see, right, that this is a thing that was inside the heart. And then it becomes public knowledge. All right, this person was, we saw him and thought him to be so pious, and this is what he turned out to be. So Allah Ta'ala creates a situation, and in that situation he proves his guilt, he shows his guilt. Why is this position moved away? Why hasn't it come to me? Why don't I have that recognition? Why don't I have that type of position and recognition? There isn't a place in the heavens where I did not bow down in sajda. I had worshipped you, Allah Ta'ala, like nobody worshipped you. I had submitted myself like nobody had submitted. Now it comes for the time to be rewarded, to be crowned with some type of token. And this token is given to someone else. No, I can't accept this. No, it's not acceptable. What I did for you, Allah Ta'ala, I had sacrificed my day, my night, for years on end. I just worshipped and worshipped and worshipped, carried on. Now it was a time for some remuneration and reward, and some recognition and acceptance. And this whole thing has been given to Adam alayhi salam. I am left out. Man was just born now and is given to him. And I'm no more in the equation. So you see, this is where man goes out. He goes off. Again, the same thing follows in the different ummahs. Look at Fir'aun. Again, problem is the same thing. Qarun, same thing. There's no deficiency of knowledge. Inna Qarun kana min qawmi Musa. Qarun was from the family of Musa alayhi salam. They say it was his first cousin, Chacherebai. And there were only about four or five people who had memorized the entire Torah from cover to cover. And he was amongst them. But he couldn't see why was Musa alayhi salam excelling. He had the attraction, people were interested in him, and he didn't get the type of show and recognition Musa alayhi salam had got. So the fire was burning within him. Fire was burning, he couldn't see it. So I say you need an exposure to see what's in the mind of the person. Somehow he wanted to defame and run down Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam starts speaking about zakat, that you need to pay out your zakat. The privileged must pay out to those that are not privileged. So his intention was to defame, run down. Then he's got a woman to talk, paid a woman a good amount of wealth, that you go and put forth this question. Musa alayhi salam spoke about zakat, about chastity, purity, but going near to immodesty, immorality. And if a person is immoral, immodest, then if he's caught and apprehended, then he must be stoned to death. So this woman stood up and she asked Musa alayhi salam, that this is the situation. If a person commits this, then what? Musa said, that's obvious. If a married person commits the wrong, then he's stoned to death. Then she asked, and if you do it, said, even if it's me. Now, this woman was paid to ask this question. And then she goes on to say, but then, aren't you guilty of the same thing? You've committed this crime with me. So Musa alayhi salam knows that he's innocent and she was planted to do all this. So Musa alayhi salam asked her, after he cried to Allah Ta'ala, then he asked her, I ask you in the name of Allah Ta'ala, who put you up against me? See this fire. This fire is burning in the person and it needs some exposure. When there's an exposure, then you understand, all right, this was the catalyst. Musa alayhi salam had commanded, and everything is working out against Qarun. He doesn't get publicity, recognition. He has to give out wealth from his own, give out zakat from his own wealth. So that was too much for him. He couldn't manage it. He couldn't handle that. So when he can't handle it now he thought he'll put Musa alayhi salam in place. He will fix him up. But it is the servant of Allah, Ta'ala, jisko Allah rakhe, usko kon chakke. Allah Pak protects someone, who can touch him? Nobody can touch him. So, and she said that it was Qarun that put her up against Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam made dua, Ya Ard Khuzi, O Earth, just swallow him up. And now Qarun is seeing that he's just being swallowed to the ankles, then to the knees. And now he's pleading to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam says, Khuzi, just catch him and swallow him down. فَخَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. Again, that see that pride. That same thing, the same illness that had overtaken Iblis, Shaitan again, same thing. He got caught up in the same trap. But this thing is very discreet, very, very discreet. You just need some exposure, some situation, and then you find out, alright, I have got this. If there isn't a situation, then you feel to yourself, no, I don't have it. I am fine. Others have got it. I am totally clear. I don't have it in me. So that is why this Oliya and Busuganadin, this is what they work for. Try and crash it out. Everyone, unfortunately, everybody thinks, no, I don't have it. The next person has got it. The third person has got it. Fourth person has got it. But I am innocent. I don't have it. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was teaching hadith. Before I come to Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, let's explain one incident of Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, was one of the more notable persons in the Tabligh Jamaat. So as he graduated, so he came to Nizamuddin and he thought he will join up. See. Perhaps it was the time of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, a man with sight and vision, ulil aidi wal absar, great vision and sight. Mawlana knows now that when a person is newly qualified and especially he comes up with good results, then he's got an attitude, he'll have something about himself. He'll want some special attention, he will want people's attention, respect, etc. Now this becomes the impediment, this becomes the blockage, obstruction. He doesn't get that and then he crashes down, he falls. He gets it and he moves. Now, with this sight, with this basirat, sight of basirat, he made out, well, this is a new student and this needs to be crashed, corrected. If I don't correct this, he's not going to progress. If I show him some ikram and respect, he may enjoy it. But then what about his progress? I'll make him feel comfortable and he may be comforted, but then he's not progressing. And I want that any person that comes here, he must progress. But he'll only progress if that khannas is crushed down in him. If that khannas is not crushed in him, he's not going to progress. So now how must I work on him? Break that khannas, that pride, that arrogance. In a jalsa, if a person is praised, he says, Jazakallah. No. So, as though he's saying that you have done a great thing, good thing by praising me, and praise me some more. So he likes it, everybody likes it. Nobody wants to be disgraced. I don't say hope to be disgraced, but this recognition, this love for recognition. There was one ijtima in Godhra, 1978, I think it was, yes. 78 was an ijtima, and I attended that ijtima, alhamdulillah. Hazrat Ji Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, was his style, he would speak very few words, half an hour, max about 40 minutes. That's what he would speak for. With his dua, and that's it. Other bayans and all, Umar Parampuri, etc., they would give the bayans, main bayans. Otherwise, his portion of the ijtima would be just about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. So, there was a huge crowd that had assembled at that ijtima. And obviously people want to know, who is this Hazrat Ji? Who is he? How does he look? If a great saintly person comes, world renowned, then everybody wants to have a look at him. Everybody wants to see, be blessed. So at the Mashwara, it was suggested that on the stage, Hazrat Ji must be seated on the stage, and people have a glimpse, they know who is Hazrat Ji. But Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah, when they brought it to his attention, that this is what we want, you sit down, at least people begin to recognize you, they see you. He turned that suggestion down completely. And he says that this means, Ana ibnu fulanin fa'arifni. You know, I'm the son of so-and-so, so recognize me. This is exactly the words of the hadith, Ana ibnu fulanin fa'arifni. You must come up, they must recognize me. So I didn't come for recognition. I came that it is a dini obligation. I came to fulfill a dini obligation. Not for my recognition, recognize me. I am a non-entity. I came for deen. Now the whole focus is going to be changed from dini effort to recognizing me. then you're going to be derailing this whole effort. The whole effort is going to be derailed. So they check themselves. At that level also, they keep checking themselves. Do we have this, the sickness of pride, of arrogance? They don't for a moment think, no, it's been flushed out of my system. I'm advanced now. Now this thing won't attack me again. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was seen. He's carrying a water bag and he's going around the homes of Muslims and providing water. We know that in the old days they didn't have this communal system of providing water, pipes, etc. So they would have people carrying water and they would service the homes. Right? So Umar radiallahu anhu, he'd taken those bags in his on his back and he's servicing. Whereas generally this type of work is done by people that are very menial, very, very menial, low class. And Umar radiallahu anhu has taken those bags and he's servicing the Muslim homes. So someone asked, "Ya Amir, I mean, you don't need to do this, but why are you doing it?" He says, "No, the Roman emissary had just come now. Roman delegation, high profile, had come just now. And something went past my mind. I'm at that level that these people also come and pay me a visit. They come and talk to me. They come and negotiate terms with me. So what is my position? Imagine for these people to come to talk to me." So this thought ran past my mind and I thought to myself that I need to cut it off. So how do I neutralize it? He's traveling to Baitul Muqaddas. And in his journey to Baitul Muqaddas, he's just accompanied by one slave. And they shared the whole journey, him and the slave, that the distance that Umar radiallahu anhu drives is the distance that the slave will drive. They are sharing just one camel. So the slave will have a turn and Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen of the most populated part of the world. He is the Amir of the most populated part of the world. Imagine, 3/4 of the world he is the Amir of, he is the king. But when it comes to traveling, it's just one camel. He travels and the slave travels. He travels and the slave. He doesn't consider him to be of a privileged class and he needs some more favors. You will travel for 5 Ks, I will travel for the next 5 Ks. And now, at one leg of the journey, Umar radiallahu anhu, it was his turn to be on foot. And they were walking past a puddle of water. As they come across the puddle of water, Umar radiallahu anhu removes his leather socks, straps it over his shoulder, and he raises up his trouser and is going through that puddle. On the other end is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, and he sees all this. And he says, "Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, you shouldn't be doing something like this. Because in the eyes of these people, they are very advanced class, very modern and very advanced. This type of conduct seems to be very, very menial in their sight. The respect that they have for you will be just be broken down." Umar radiallahu anhu heard this and he was very affected. He struck Abu Ubaidah on the chest and he says, had someone else made the statement, I would have fixed him up. I would have disciplined him. If anybody else had said this, I would have disciplined him. But it's your position, your maqam, that I'm not doing anything. Don't you know, it was on account of Islam that Allah Ta'ala has honored us. Otherwise, we are nowhere. Arabs, where were we? We are nowhere. Nowhere on the map. And it was Islam that honors us. This thing, this clothing, etc., wasn't the thing that brought us our honor. Like how we have our children. Like I say, we have got this thing here in discreet, but we don't want to recognize it. Our children will say, dropping me at school, so take me in the BM. Don't take me in your van now. Take me in the BM. So they've got it also. We know that they have got it. But we don't want to recognize. And then the child is growing up with that. And then when he becomes a failure in life, failure in deen, you don't know where the failure, where did it come. But it was we that had nurtured this, this whole pride, we had nurtured it, brought it at that level now. Now to crush the thing becomes so difficult. So as Umar radiallahu anhu warns Hazrat Abu Ubaidah that we are respected and honored on account of Islam. Nothing else. Otherwise, maybe we were nowhere in the map. Nowhere. It was just Islam that has brought us this honor. And if we're going to look for respect and honor anywhere else, أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ Allah Ta'ala will bring us back to disgrace. So if you know what's good for you, leave all these things here. This type of publicity and public acceptance and recognition, leave all that out. Don't worry about that. To hell with what people think about you. Ali radiallahu anhu says, I saw Umar radiallahu anhu making tawaf of the Baytullah whilst he had 14 patches on his clothing. Some of them were white in color, the patch, and some brown in color, some of cloth and some of leather. But it didn't make a difference. So we are talking of Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he's coming to the Merkaz. Muhammad Ilyas Saab, the founder of Tabligh, has received him. He just graduated his formal studies. Now this thing has to be crushed. Pride and arrogance. So Mufti Zainul Abidin tells him, you know, there is a Jamaat that is coming. We're expecting a Jamaat. And just go and receive them at the New Delhi station. It's peak summer. The temperatures are going at about 50 degrees. And he must go on foot to the station and receive the Jamaat. Now there he is standing there from the morning till the evening and there is no Jamaat. Now he's fuming with anger that they asked me to come here and I come here and there's nothing. In the sweltering heat, temperatures are rising up at about 50 degrees, I must come there at the station. When he comes back to the Merkaz, so they tell him, all they tell him is, sorry, the Jamaat didn't come. Maybe they come tomorrow. And they put him again. Second day, waiting again for the Jamaat to come. Again, the Jamaat isn't out. By the third day, he realized now what they were up to. They were getting that pride out of him, that arrogance out of him. Because once that is out, now the road is very easy, it's smooth. Now we can start working. But if we don't have this, we can't move. No progress, can't make progress. Now we got that. Now it's Alhamdulillah. Now you realize that this was the thing that we are working for. So this pride and this arrogance is not going to be a thing that's going to be washed out in one day, or it's going to be washed, if it's washed out today, it's not going to recur, it's going to recur all the time. All the time it's going to come up. And at all the time, imagine Umar, when he's at the height of his reign of Khilafat, then too he's checking himself, he's correcting himself, where he needs to help some person, then he's taking that flower on his back personally and insisting on the servant that you're not going to do this because you're not going to carry my burden on the day of Qiyamah. I'm going to carry it myself. So you're not going to carry this, I will carry it. So the concern that he's got, Allah Ta'ala give us that concern, that realization, that this pride and arrogance, we break it out of our system. It's creating so much of problems. We don't know, we can't identify what is the catalyst, what is the source, what is the sabab. But it is there for the Shaykh Alhamdulillah to say that this is Ummul Amraz, the root of all problems. There must be some deep reasoning. So we recognize this and we crush it out of our system. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
Ismail Bayat is requested to come for the front and make the dua.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها لنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا إله العالمين او موس كريم رحيم عقا او موس beloved and kind Allah. Allah, we beg you, please forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, have mercy on us, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, please forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, we have spent our lives in disobedience, Ya Allah. Allah, we've sinned throughout our lives, Ilah al-Alameen. Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, in this Mubarak Majlis, Ya Allah, amongst the pious servants of yours that are amongst us, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, have mercy on us, Ya Allah. Allah, we have used all your ni'mats, Ya Allah. You have showered us with so many blessings and ni'mats, Ya Allah. Allah, but we've never appreciated your ni'mats, Ya Allah. We've never appreciated what you've given us, Ilah al-Alameen. Allah, we beg you, please forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us for our nashukri, Ya Allah. Forgive us for our sins and our wrongs and our evils, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive our parents. Forgive our wives and our children. Allah, forgive our friends and our relatives. Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, make our maghfirat, Ya Allah. Allah, let it be that we are forgiven before we leave this majlis, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive all our gunas, Ya Allah. Allah, and give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, of leaving out guna and sin for the rest of our lives, Ya Allah. Allah, shower us with your special rahmat and mercy, Ya Al-Alameen. Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah. Allah, we beg you to please have mercy on us, Ya Allah, and shower your fazl and karam upon us, Ya Allah. Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, to bless us with those sifat and those qualities, Allah, that a Muslim is supposed to have, Ya Allah. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired for his ummah, Ya Allah. Bless us with those sifat and those qualities, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with honesty and truth, Ya Allah. That we be honest in everything that we do, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that we don't hide ourselves. And we be honest and we be truthful in everything that we do, Ilah al-Alameen. Allah, bless us with this honesty and this truthfulness, Ya Allah. Allah, and all the other sifat and qualities that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired for us to have in us. Bless us with those sifat and those qualities, Ilah al-Alameen. Allah, we beg you for afiyat and ease in everything that we do, Ya Allah. Allah, take us through this journey of this dunya with afiyat, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from difficulties and hardships and problems and calamities, Ya Allah. Allah, and when our last moment comes, Ya Allah, let it be, Ya Allah, the best moment in our lives with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on our tongues, Ya Allah. Allah, let us bless us with a debt of izzat and respect, Ya Allah. Allah, let it be that you are happy and pleased to meet us, Ya Allah. And we are happy and pleased to meet you, Allah. Allah, and make all the marahil of akhirat easy for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the stay in the qabr, Ya Allah. Allah, the day of hashar, Ya Allah. Allah, when we're receiving our book of deeds, Ya Allah. When we have to cross the pul sirat ila al-alameen. All those marahil, make it easy for us, Ya Allah. Allah, we beg you, bless us with Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Bless us with Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Allah. Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, Ilah al-Alameen. Save us from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Bless us with Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah. Allah, although we're not worthy of it, Ilah al-Alameen, we beg you, Ya Allah, in Jannat, bless us with the Mubarak company of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the Mubarak company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Allah, we have heard from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the greatest ni'mat of a jannati is to see you, ya Allah. Allah, we beg you to bless us with your didar, ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ladhata nazari ila wajhika al-kareem wa shawqan ila liqaik fi ghayri darra'a mudirra wala fitnatin mudilla. Allah, bless us with your muhabbat and your love. Allahumma rzuqna hubbak. Allahumma rzuqna hubbak wa hubba rasulika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, bless us with your love, oh Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and your love, ya Allah. Allah, remove all the filth and dirt and the love of everything else from our hearts, ya Allah. Allah, and fill our hearts with your muhabbat and your love, ya Allah. Allah, please, ya Allah, fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, create in our hearts a disgust for any other way of life besides the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, create in our hearts a disgust for the way of lives of the kuffar and the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and create the love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts ila al-alameen. Allah, we beg you, ya Allah, if there's any ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is in difficulty and hardship in any part of the world, ya Allah, Allah, remove the difficulty and hardship, ya Allah. Allah, especially our Muslim brethren in the war-torn countries, ya Allah, who are in hardship and difficulties, ya Allah. Allah, please help them and assist them, ila al-alameen. Please help them and assist them, ya Allah. Allah, those who have been martyred and made shaheed, ya Allah, grant them higher stages in Jannatul Firdaus, ya Allah. And those that have been left behind, that are homeless and without any shelter or food, without any families, ya Allah, Allah, you be with them and help them and assist them and be with them, ya Allah. Guide them, ya Allah. Allah, any Muslim that is in any difficulty, whether it is qaraz or bimari, ya Allah, you remove all the difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Allah, all the works of deen that are taking place on the face of this earth, ya Allah, whether it is the jamaats that are walking out in your path, or whether it is the ulama that are teaching the dars of Qala Allah and Qala Rasul, whether it is the khatibs that are delivering lectures on the members, or the musannifin that are writing kitabs, ya Allah, or the jamaats and the jamiats that are working, the social welfare work that is taking place, Allah, whatever work of deen is taking place, accept it and grant taraqi and grant ikhlas to the workers, ya Allah. Ya Allah, and give us some share and hissa in all the good work that is taking place, ila al-alameen. Give us some share and hissa in all the good work that is taking place. Allah, protect Haramain Sharifain, ya Allah. Protect Masjidul Aqsa, ya Allah. Protect Darulum Deoban, ya Allah. Allah, protect the work of Dawat and Tabligh, ya Allah. And all the other works of deen, ya Allah. The masajid, madaris, makatib, the ulama, ya Allah. Protect them, ya Allah. Allah, whatever we have asked for, bless us with that, ya Allah. What we have forgotten to ask for, Allah, bless us with that also, ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna wa maulana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna wa maulana Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.